He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge. It is your favorite day of the week. Yeah, actually, Aaron and I are actually recording on our favorite day of the week again.
No. We have already, we've been through this for years now. It is
You're just wrong, dude. It's okay. Like, it's a
Saturday is better than Friday.
No, it's not. It's really not. It's really, really not.
You can be wrong. It's okay.
All right. I need to know. I need to know from people what their favorite day of the week is. But all right. So on my favorite day of the week.
I mean, Friday is a quality day.
Also, like on days that we do shows, it is the best day that we do a show.
Yeah, your favorite day of the week. Yeah, that's fair.
And also, some people are probably listening to this on Saturdays too, while they try to avoid doing family stuff. Or like I listen to podcasts while I do yard work. And
you could also just not make the choice to live a different life and not, I mean, I have family, my brother and my sister, mom, my stepdad, you know, whatever. I have family. But you could also just make the conscious choice, as I have, to not have that sort of family.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to do any of that shit.
I mean, there would be stuff you still feel like you have to avoid. No.
Nope.
Man.
Nope. I mean, when mom and pops are in town, I do stuff with them. And I go see my brother sometimes and my niece and nephew. But the best part about it is when I'm sick of it, I leave. And you guys have the responsibility. I didn't choose this. You chose this. Wait, you know what's funny? Wait, hold on. Speaking of I didn't choose this, I don't know. Do you follow me on Instagram?
I'm never on Instagram.
Okay.
Ever, 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 ever.
Okay, so same question. Do you follow me on Instagram?
I'm
not
don't
trying to get
so.
Like followers. I don't care. The only
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm
okay,
never
so
on
the
there.
Reason I'm the only reason I'm asking that is because yesterday I was going to I went to CVS yesterday to get a couple things. And by the way, shout out to did you see? I don't know if you saw, but Shams did a thing with Austin.
Yeah,
and Austin said that his first rookie duty was going to CVS for Russ. But so I was walking to CVS yesterday to like just you know whatever pick up some stuff, and I posted this on my Instagram story, which is strangely, or maybe appropriately, the single most engagement I've ever gotten on anything on Instagram because randomly right outside of the CVS. On the ground, like tucked in a little corner, was four boxes of Plan B. So,
okay.
Stacked up against each other. So, I mean, look, I've had some nights, I've had some times in my life, but I could not conceptualize what sort of evening did you have that requires you to buy four Plan B pills.
So, at that point, is it like Plan B, C, D, and E?
I did get that. Some people said that, yes.
Yeah.
And I really had no idea. Like, and somebody excuse me, a couple people actually sent to me, it is Coachella this weekend, so maybe they're just preparing.
Loading up.
Yeah. Which made sense. But my
there
point
was an
is,
episode of Dave that like talked about like the introduction of the season of Dave was that scene. So yeah, there's that. Do you watch Dave? You don't watch Dave?
No. Is that white people stuff?
No, not really. Well, it's a white rapper.
Oh, is that the one with is that Little Dicky? That's his show?
Yeah, and Gata's on it. This last episode.
I do like
was,
Little Dicky. I do like. He's come to some games. He's a big 76ers fan. So come to some games. And there's the occasional song of his that I find really talented. That I find
I've never listened to a song of his ever. But I watch his show. It's funny.
So my point is that reminded me when I saw you know the four. It reminded me of yesterday. Some of us have chosen a different life.
Yeah.
And do not have those obligations that would require Saturday to not be your favorite day because you have to do family stuff.
Well, actually, that's a perfect kind of preview of today's conversation. What we are going to do is, in this first part, we're going to focus on the Lakers as best we can. You know, Aaron and I wander. Mm-hmm. So we are going to focus on the Lakers, preview the Memphis series. I have thoughts on this Kuz, Dinwiddie, and apparently Rick Fox thing.
Rick did catch a stray.
Yeah, but he fucking ended it.
Oh, like I haven't seen what he said. No,
he actually caught the stray and threw it back at Dinwiddie, like Matrix style. It was pretty great.
Or like The Prestige, the movie The Prestige. I love that.
Yeah.
Or Catch the Bullet, yeah.
So we are going to talk a little bit, obviously, or a lot of bit, about the weekend and the week or so that follows this series. And then in the second part of this, we are going to send it over to Substack for a Substack exclusive where, Aaron, you and I talk about you and your life. I find you interesting.
You need to, you have some priorities you need to
we're gonna if you find well we're doing it second so it's okay, not fair. That like
okay
that's
fair. Yeah, fair
but yeah we'll talk about you and I think it'll kind of allow me to talk a little bit about me. So if you guys are interested in kind of Aaron and my relationship and Aaron and I as people beyond this stuff, go ahead and subscribe. And you'll get that episode on.
But by the way, Anthony Irwin Show. Even if you aren't interested in us as people, go subscribe anyway.
I would appreciate that. That would be cool. There you go. So, all right. So let's go ahead and dive into the series. I had Keith Parrish of Fast Break Breakfast and Grits and Grinds on the show yesterday. Got kind of how Memphis fans are looking at this, how he is looking at it, and how maybe the Memphis Grizzlies kind of feel about this. Some of the kind of tidbits that he's going to be paying extra close attention to as an indication of which way the series is kind of heading. One of which, and I actually think this might be the single most important statistic, I think, in the series that he mentioned was Jaren Jackson Jr.'s minutes.
Yeah, because that's tied to his fouls.
Fouls and all of it. So, you know, in the regular season, he played 29 minutes a game. Still is going to probably be the defensive player of the year, despite not playing very many games playing very much in it.
I don't know. Did you see?
I don't know.
Did you see? I saw something on Twitter.
It's a split vote for sure. Like, there's a lot of people who feel a lot of ways.
I saw something on Twitter, and it was, I think it was trying to make fun of Doris Burke, who, by the way, is the best and one of my favorites. And I saw her.
Yeah, don't make fun of her.
No, I saw her at the game. Maybe it was a play-in game. Yeah, I saw her at the play-in game, and she is the best and one of my favorites. So this thing on Twitter, I think, was trying to dunk on her because, and there was a screenshot of who people had voted for defensive player of the year. And she voted for Embiid. So I think it was like, the point was dunking on her, I think.
Whatever.
But what I took from it was Evan Mobley had a lot more votes than I anticipated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was maybe 20 or 25 people on that list, which is not the full vote, but
yeah,
there was a lot more Evan Mobley than I anticipated. And I think more, there was like, two or three Draymond Green, one for Embiid. I think the rest were either Mobley or Triple J, but it was more Evan Mobley than I anticipated. So I'm not sure. I thought he was going to win two until I saw that this morning. And maybe it's not necessarily a representative sample, but from that graphic that I saw this morning, it looks like Evan Mobley might win.
Yeah, there's been a lot of momentum behind that. It's kind of weird. Like, I kind of get it because of the amounts of time that AD missed this year. But AD just, like, not ever being mentioned for, like, any of like, all-NBA teams or the kind of defensive
plays.
He should
be all-NBA third team. Center.
Yeah.
He should be the center, all-NBA third team center, period.
But we just don't hear about it.
I don't think he's going to be. I think it's going to be Sabonis.
Yeah. For some reason, there's been a bad... not for some reason. I don't think people liked how he handled his departure from New Orleans.
Sorry, there was also a lot of Brooke Lopez in there. Sorry,
arrival in there.
Yeah.
See, the problem with the Brooke Lopez thing is, like, he has Giannis next to him. Like, and he has Jrue Holiday in front of him. So how great a defender do you actually have to be if you're in that circumstance? Right.
I mean, I don't know how great
for me, like Anthony Davis holding up a defense that at one point had Russell Westbrook, who like never really cared much, and then held up a post-deadline team that didn't have LeBron James for much of it to be the best defensive team after the deadline or after the All-Star break or whatever it was. Like, that was all AD, and we just don't talk about that. Like, it just doesn't get really talked about. It's I don't know. That's and the part
to
the,
me there the problem, to me AD is one of the three best defensive players in the NBA. I think there are three guys that are clearly the three best.
Yeah.
And it's AD, Draymond, and Giannis.
Yeah.
I think those are the three best guys, but they may not have had the best seasons, right?
Yeah.
Brooke Lopez is fantastic. Alex Caruso is fantastic, but the difference between and like Gobert or like those guys, right? The difference though is AC is not as versatile. Lopez and Gobert are not as versatile. The three guys I mentioned, they're all big guys, but they can survive against small guys too. So I think the versatility is the part that really matters, and we're far afield as we tend to do. But AD's not going to win it. But in my opinion, he's one of the three best defensive players in the league.
He's one of the best defensive players I've ever seen. Like, flat out.
Fair too. Yeah, no, I think that's fair
flat
too.
Flat out. Like, no qualifications, just one of the best I've ever seen. All right, so the Jaren Jackson minutes.
Yeah,
see, this is the thing. Yeah. We just kind of wander around. Like you mentioned, he has dealt with foul issues this year. Memphis just didn't play him very much. Like Keith was saying last night, that some of it was just kind of by choice, that they kept him off the court coming off of offseason injury.
He didn't start the season and then got hurt again, yeah.
Yeah, and then like he's just dealt with a bunch of stuff that impacts his availability. Memphis is already missing Steven Adams, and they're already missing Brandon Clark. So if he isn't available, it is real thin. It is like Xavier Tillman, and that's it.
I like Xavier Tillman, and that's it. It's Xavier Tillman, and that's it.
Yeah, right. So
Xavier Tillman.
Like I think if is it Xavier?
No, it's Xavier. But because of Xavier Henry,
yeah. I'll always believe if he didn't have hamstrings made out of paper mache, I think he had a pretty good career.
My legs are so sore.
I've had so much yard work to do because a yard company that will go nameless stole money from me for what they didn't do. But anyway,
we don't love that.
So yeah, the minutes though that Jaren Jackson Jr. plays. I think if there isn't another stat that you could isolate and allow that to dictate how the season plays out better than that one.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is. And from Memphis's perspective, it is like Jaren Jackson Jr., he just fouls too much. But if he's fouling too much on defense, that's okay.
Whatever.
The problem is he picks up dumb fouls in all kinds of other ways. Yeah, but even worse. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You think he's worse?
Yeah, he is worse because Cat isn't really even trying to guard. That's why. Like, I mean, he's not.
No, yeah, it is funny. Like, Cat isn't very good defensively, and yet is still somehow in foul trouble. I disagree. Jaren Jackson Jr. has to be worse or has to be a little better because he's trying on defense, and sometimes fouls happen when you try on defense.
Cat's
fouls are so stupid.
The problem with Triple J though is he'll pick up invariably over the back one or two of his fouls are bad screens on offense or loose ball fouls where he doesn't have a chance at the ball. Just like, so if he can minimize those and just get whatever fouls he's going to get guarding AD. And I think this is a big series for LeBron trying to get to the bucket and trying to pick up an Austin getting in the paint and trying to pick up fouls on him. But I think it's going to be very important just from on Sunday morning, well, Sunday afternoon at noon, just AD immediately offensively going after him and trying to pick up like the legitimate fouls because he's going to get the cheap ones at some point. So I think that I agree. That is the number one thing to look at from the Lakers perspective. How are the Lakers going to guard,
Ja,
who's going to guard Ja, how they're going to guard Ja, et cetera. Because, I mean, Ja is, he's not a shooter, but for some reason, and it is not clear to me why, the Lakers decided to go over screens on him and drop. And he just destroyed the Lakers with the float game and the key. I think he made 8 straight at one point. He had, I don't remember what it was, 20 something, I think 28 maybe in the third, I think it was, because he was just getting to wherever he wants, because he's going to get wherever he wants, because he's that kind of athlete. But if you make it easy for him and just give him the floater over and over. So I think this is not a series that you want to go over screens. I think you have to go under the screens on Ja. So I'm interested to see if Darvin and the crew make that adjustment. And then the other thing I think is really important, and this is also a defensive thing for the Lakers, is what are you going to do? Well, no, it's an offensive thing for the Lakers based on the Lakers defense. I know that sounds like kind of counterintuitive, but when Luke Kennard is out there, how many minutes can you allow, or will the Lakers allow Luke Kennard to be out on the floor?
Yeah.
He is a 5-alarm fire as a 3-point shooter.
But also as a defender?
If he and Bane are out there together, right, that's what Memphis needs to give the space for Ja, who can't shoot, to operate and have room in the paint. So LeBron is maybe not the first, but probably the best at being predatory on offense in playoff series.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. I thought you were going to say put LeBron on Kennard. I'm like, that sounds awful.
No, I do not want to put LeBron on a
he just so, given what he was doing with Torian Prince the other night. No.
I don't want to do that. But so I think my guess is that to try to hide Luke, Memphis will have him guard Vando, which you know he's too small for, not athletic enough. But if Vando's going to stand in the corner in space, as he's been doing a lot, I think that's where they will try to hide him. And if the Lakers want to prey on him and bring Vando up to screen for LeBron, with Kennard guarding Vando, my guess is they'll just say fuck it and blitz LeBron with whoever is guarding LeBron and Kennard, and say Vando, go ahead. Like, you want to play 4-on-3? You want to play 4-on-3? Go ahead. Like, we'll live with that. So I think those are going to be like, how much can Luke Kennard play? Can he get played off the floor so that, you know, he can only play 10 minutes or 12 minutes or something, so that that deadly shooting is less of a factor? I think it's that, and how much Triple J's foul trouble, and how the Lakers choose to guard Ja. And my suggestion, spoiler alert, go under every screen.
Yeah. Well, so I want to talk about Ja. You mentioned Vando spending some time on him, I believe. I think the way that you have to guard Ja looks a lot like how the Lakers were guarding Rondo back when he was good on the Celtics, right? Where the Lakers essentially saved Kobe's legs in that series by having him guard Rondo, by essentially not guarding Rondo. And I don't think you can go quite that far with Ja, because he's so explosive and he is so good at closing that space. But that said, like, I think Vando is your primary defender on him. I think in some spots you maybe try out Dennis Schroeder. But I kind of have a wacky idea.
Let's hear
for
it.
This one. Kind of want to see LeBron on him. They don't have anybody like who is physical that like I need to see LeBron defend on the wing or anything like that. LeBron can kind of just stay at that free throw line area and just make sure that, like, wherever Ja is, don't get beat backdoor, which he's probably going to on occasion. But don't get beat backdoor. Make sure you kind of you put a body on him on rebounds and stuff like that too. And as the ball is rotating, position yourself so that, you know, it's not a straight line drive to the basket. I like the idea of having LeBron basically, you know, ghost Ja to a certain extent. Play spy like you do with running quarterbacks, where they kind of stand there in the middle of the defense and they just kind of shadow where the quarterback might be looking to run to and all that stuff. And yeah, you give something up out there because you have a linebacker directly shadowing the quarterback, but it also makes it that much harder for that quarterback to break loose, on at least in theory. With some guys it doesn't matter, right? With Michael Vick, it didn't matter if you had two spies, three spies, didn't matter. If he found the hole, he was just gone. And I think Jaw is that kind of athlete in a basketball sense, where there are going to be some occasions where even if you have LeBron paying attention and giving him space, he's going to close that space, maybe get around LeBron and still get to the basket. But I think it preserves some of LeBron's legs, at least in some theory here. And you know, in minutes that aren't with Vando, if say if Vando deals with foul trouble, or if he just gets played off the court, this allows you to play Rui out there. I've had this kind of bouncing around in my head, and I can't stop thinking about it.
I disagree. I disagree.
So who does LeBron guard then? Because everybody else, if it's Brooks, though, I can totally see Brooks getting, like, at least in game one, he's going to hit like 5 threes. That's how I see this going.
Yeah. Okay. That's what you want. That's what you want. I mean, you don't want him hitting 5 threes, but this is going to sound bad, but I literally and legitimately want Dylan Brooks to make his first three. And LeBron has had a bad habit of hanging off of guys. Some of it's laziness. It's not laziness. Some of it is him modulating the effort because he just because he's older.
Intentional laziness. Yeah. It's fine.
Right. So for two reasons. One, because I do want him to make the first one. I don't want him to make five, but I do want Dylan Brooks to make the first one because that's going to lead to, in the long term, in the full sample size, I think that's going to lead to two games, maybe at least, that Dylan Brooks is just going to lose for Memphis because he goes 6 for 24. So if Dylan Brooks makes it, go ahead. He maybe has the worst shot selection in the league. Like, I know Jordan Poole is kind of right there too, but Dylan Brooks has terrible shot selection and has a penchant for shooting Memphis out of games. And that's part of it. The other part of it is I think LeBron hates, in a basketball sense, none of these guys actually hate her, but
I know what you're saying.
Feels a competitiveness and even more so than it's just the playoffs. I think the fact that he may be matched up against Dylan Brooks could be a thing that gets LeBron going. And I think that could be very useful. So I would put him on Dylan Brooks for those two reasons, because it plays into it weaponizes LeBron's bad habits and takes advantage of or encourages Dylan Brooks' bad habits. So I think I would go there. I don't think you're wrong that LeBron is going to have some time on Ja, but was it the 2011 playoffs, 2012 playoffs, where Chicago was giving Miami some problems and LeBron just said, okay, enough of this, I'm guarding Derrick Rose, and just turned his water off.
Yeah.
I don't think that LeBron exists anymore.
Oh, no. That's not how I envision this going, though.
But the other problem with the Ja matchup is that is going to put that could wear LeBron out, or whoever's guarding him, because that means you're going to be in all the actions and you're going to be having to navigate screens a bunch and all of that. So he will guard him. LeBron is going to guard Ja some, but for me, it would be Dylan Brooks.
Yeah. I don't look at it as like LeBron being the primary defender here in any way, right? Because that will not go well. Vando has to be the primary defender, and he has to be somewhat successful as a primary defender. Otherwise, you're running into some issues. But I do think, like, in minutes where Vando is down, and like I think Schroeder is going to get the nod with second units. Obviously, that his playing time overlaps with Ja. I know that Darvin really likes Schroeder to do that. But I think as like a third option, and especially if, say, Memphis is paying so little attention to Vando that the Lakers offense is struggling, that's where I think LeBron makes some sense in that spot. And you know, look, Jaw's so good that you're just kind of, it's a give and take no matter what you do, you know?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I do think the Lakers have to find a way to get Rui in this game, in these matchups, because he's been so important to what they've done on both sides of the ball. And I think, you know, just in general, I think he should be kind of like a, like we talked before the playoffs even started, before the plan even started, about, you know, what the rotation should look like and who should be a part of it. And I kind of saw Rui as more matchup dependent, but I really think like he should be ahead in the rotation of Beasley, ahead in the rotation of Troy Brown Jr. He should be their like seventh guy, maybe eighth guy. He's been that good to me, and I think the playoffs in particular really highlight what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I mean, yes, because those guys that can go get a tough two are because defenses, you know, are cracked down and defense is better, and a lot of your system stuff isn't going to work as well in the playoffs because teams scout more and the defenses are better, and Memphis is among the best defensive teams in the league because of Brooks and because of Triple J. So yes, I think Rui should play a lot in this series. Although one of the reasons he has been valuable for the Lakers is he's kind of like that big body that they don't have otherwise. Good athleticism, big body, and can go up against some of the bigger teams in the league. And at this point, that is not the case for Memphis. So if Memphis had, you know, Brandon Clark and Steven Adams, I would say more, and this is true of Mo, obviously, also, but I would say Rui would need to play more just to go up against that. But like after Tillman and after their start, you know, Tillman and Triple J, there's not much there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, Rui is coming off. I mean, look, Rui seems
But isn't that good. Isn't that kind of like the distinction between playing into the matchup and forcing a team to try to match up with you? Like minutes that like with Rui out there, if he's having success and you force Tillman to be out there instead of Kennard, that's a huge win for the Lakers.
Maybe. I mean, because maybe. Yes, you do. Yes, I agree with that conceptually of forcing the other team to adjust to what you do. But I don't want to do that with my eighth guy. I want to do that with my best guys. So this was always the thing about, well, for the Rockets, for the Warriors, I mean, especially the Warriors, right? Like teams would try to play small against the Warriors because they were afraid of getting run off the floor with their big guys. The problem with that is the Warriors small guys are their best five guys, and their small guys are better than your small guys, and their small guys are better, have done this more than your small guys have. So when it's your best guys, yes, absolutely. But Rui's not, I don't think Rui is good enough to have Rui be the piece you want to put out there to make somebody adjust to. In pockets, sure. But I mean, look, if Steven Adams was in this series, if the Grizzlies were fully healthy, I don't know. I think the Lakers are going to win this series. But I would be worried about it much more than I am if Steven Adams was available, because I think that size and offensive rebounding could hurt the Lakers. Jaw's really good, so there's something to be worried about. Triple J is really good, so there's something to be worried about. But I think the Lakers can kind of just play this series more straight up because they don't have Phoenix. I was going to say Phoenix. Memphis doesn't have that size available to punish the Lakers. So I think the Lakers have advantages without having to go so far down the line to say, all right, let's try this and see if this works and see if this is something that Memphis has to adjust to. I think the Lakers can really just play straight up and say, like, at this point, and just talent on talent, the Lakers are probably just better than the Grizzlies as currently constructed. So I think the Lakers can play this more straight up, and I think the tweaks are less lineup based and more like coverage based and scheme based. Like, let's not go over screens with jaw and let him get to his floater that's going to go in every single time, like that kind of stuff. Rui should definitely play, but I'm not worried about playing Rui to make Memphis adjust to the Lakers.
Yeah, I think over the course of a series that happens naturally, and I think that's where I think at some point it would behoove the Lakers to, because if Rui works, there just might not be an answer. Like, if Rui works and Memphis has to try to go big to match up with him, because, you know, say he's just torching Kennard or even Bane in isolation in the mid post. Santi Aldama time? What's that?
You want Santi Aldama time?
Yes, very much. Watch, he's gonna fucking do something dumb, crazy. But like, but yeah, I do kind of think that you know, Rui is one of those X factors that if he works, there just might not be much counter that they can do to stem that. And also, like, I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous of Troy Brown and Malik Beasley in this spot. You know, I watched how that last, I'm a little nervous with Reeves and D'Lo. I saw their eyes get pretty big on the stage that was the other night.
To be fair to those guys, everybody was bad on Tuesday. Everybody.
Those guys were especially bad, though.
It was not their finest effort. That is fair.
Beasley only got up two threes, and that's his whole job. And he didn't play. He doesn't normally play much defense. Troy Brown Jr., man, like, there were multiple times that I'm sure we could have heard from the bench, from guys on the Timberwolves bench, he with us, because that was that was brutal. And Reeves, like, there were a bunch of times. I don't know how much of it had to do with the giant bruise that he had on his arm for some reason in that game, or what, but he was passing up shots. And, you know, that's the one thing that I get real nervous about when I see it out there, is that hesitancy, because the fraction of a second that you hesitate, say in a regular season, you still have kind of an opportunity to make up for it, because the windows are bigger in one of 82, but in one of seven, or in that case, one of one, those
one of one and a half.
Yeah, right. Those moments are are really shrunk down, and yeah, that really kind of concerned me there. So now, look, if they go out there and they play well again, then I would happily say, all right, cool.
I think
concern quelled.
I think that this, whatever it is, 5-day break or whatever it is, I think that the two guys I think that will matter most for are Austin and LeBron, because both of those guys, LeBron looked gassed. And Austin looked like he was playing, not too much, but to a level, especially high level basketball with all these stakes. LeBron looked
gassed. Like a second year player out there.
LeBron looked gassed in the game. Like that game, LeBron just looked gassed. Austin looked worn down. And so I think the time off for those two guys will help them. So I'm not worried. I think, like, Beasley, I think that's fair. D'Lo was just awful. Austin was bad, but I'm not worried about the moment being too big for Austin. I think he was just like, what is the fatigue? I think it's fatigue. Fatigue makes cowards of us all, right? Like,
yeah.
So, and that leads to like a bunch of like mistakes. You know, when you're tired, that leads to a bunch of mental mistakes. So I think that I do not think the moment will be too big for Austin in the playoffs. I think he's just has been worn down, and I think the 5 days is that one. I think it is 5 days. The 5 days will be big for him, as it will be for LeBron.
Yep. All right. Let's do prediction time here. I'm gonna let people in on a little secret.
Okay.
You're
picking Memphis.
Yeah. No. I bet, because I know people got real upset with me that I dared bet on the Clippers against the Lakers and won money to feed my daughter. But
first of all, it's not like you were going to buy diapers and formula. You went to fucking Krispy Kreme.
Well, it was Grand Donuts for one thing.
Okay, fine.
But secondly, it was delightful, and donuts are special. You know, ask Avery which she prefers, donuts or diapers, and I think she prefers donuts. So But yeah, I'm going here to my bets on this website that I may or may not use.
This website that hosts your bets, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what is it? So I have in the Lakers best of seven series against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes, the one upcoming, yeah.
I have the Lakers winning in five at plus 775.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I like
that. That's the bet I made. Because I think if they win, it's going to be a short series. Because the longer this goes on, the more that travel wears down on legs.
Yep.
It gives the Lakers an opportunity to drop the one stupid game in Memphis that Sauti Aldama goes out and hits 5 3-pointers in. I do think, like you said, I think the Lakers are just better than this iteration of Memphis, even if Memphis still has stuff that makes me nervous. I don't necessarily know how focused Jaw still is. Just the other day, we saw that he's filing a countersuit that you know, is certainly a choice. Look, Desmond Bain, I think Desmond Bain probably scares me a little more than just about any other player there because he can get hot and stay hot for the entirety of a series. But I still think, though, like the Lakers are pretty well built to get Jaren Jackson Jr. in foul trouble. And if and when he goes into foul trouble, which is going to happen, I think, more often than not, I think the Lakers really take advantage of those minutes. I think they can win this series. So where are you stand on this one?
Lakers in six. Lakers in five. Cool. But actually, you know what? I want Lakers in six. I need give me one extra game.
What the hell?
Give me one extra game in the pad. You know, well, actually, you have enough money on it. So I always root for people's money. And the sooner the better for the Lakers, because I do think that the longer the series goes on, I think that, you know, the fact that LeBron is 38 or however old he is in his 20th year, and like, you know, there's always things, bumps and bruises and stuff, concerns with AD. So I do think that the longer the series goes, it favors the Grizz more, especially if the Grizz try to get out and run. Which they, you know, they, Tyus doesn't run like he should. Ja obviously runs all the time, but their pace has gone down. The Lakers started the year, you know, with huge pay. They were number one in the league for a while. Now, you know, since all the trades and stuff, I think they're kind of middle of the pack ish. That's bold though. Like five requires winning at least two and possibly three games in Memphis. If you split three mm-hmm. and four at home, that's bold. I like it and I'm rooting for it.
It's more, I saw value there. Like I just right. think, I you know
what was maybe it's changed now, but what was this Lakers sweep? If you got, what'd you get, plus seven something?
Plus 775. I think it was like 1200.
Yeah. Okay.
If they swept,
my actual pick is Lakers in six.
Yeah, but I get it. I think that's the safer pick. I just didn't see, like, I think it dropped all the way, at least at the time that I was betting it. It dropped down to like barely double money, which at that point just bet on the series, you know, and. So I just saw, like, I bet on the series and I bet on this one. So we'll see how it goes.
I don't think, I will say this, if I don't think the Lakers are going to win a game seven in Memphis. So
I think they'll be exhausted by then.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
Lakers. All right. I do want to spend a little bit of time here at the end of this episode on Kuz, Dinwiddie, and Rick Fox. Like, if I, you know, parlays are a big part of betting. I don't think that's a parlay I would have put together on a random week before the playoffs get started. To the best of my knowledge, it appears that Dinwiddie took like a random swipe at Kuz. Kuz responded big.
Kuz took the first swipe.
What was the first swipe? Oh, no, you're right. You're right. He said they don't play winning basketball. Yeah. All right. So that was the first swipe. Dinwiddie, like months after the fact, it seems like, had something to say about it. A month after the fact, had something to say about it. Kuz had something to say about what Dinwiddie had something to say about it.
Indeed.
And then randomly, like, as Dinwiddie, you know, sees Kuz's tweets, which I,
yeah, but
to me,
Kuz with the thread, not Kuz went with the thread, like point by point.
Yeah. Well, man, that was,
I think it got
that
to
was,
six, I think.
Yeah. The best. So, which was your favorite between Din Shitty Island or the Bitcoin joke? Because the Bitcoin joke was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. Bitcoin joke's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Dinwiddie then responds with that and says Kuz is essentially Rick Fox, which Dinwiddie's from LA. Like, that's city royalty that you're just like sideswiping there.
Here's the other. I mean, I see Rick around and at events and stuff. Rick's living a pretty good life, even in retirement. He's doing all right. So
I mean, Rick is a model. Like, Rick has always looked like a model. So, yeah, I honestly don't even have anything to say other than to just kind of laugh at the randomness.
No, I just enjoy it. Yeah. I just think it's funny, and I think it's good for the league. The more of these rivalries you get, like, you know, Dylan Brooks versus literally two-thirds of the NBA, right?
Like, Dylan Brooks versus the mirror.
When it like bleeds over into physical stuff, it's not so great. Although I still find it entertaining, but for the league, it's not so great. But when there's these little like personal rivalries with people sniping at each other verbally, I think it's good for the league and I find it entertaining. I'm also, to quote my guy Cedric the Entertainer, I am a cheerleader for foolishness, so I enjoy this kind of thing. But like, really, it's kind of ridiculous from both of them. And look, of all of my time,
it's all ridiculous.
In all of my time, around and with the Lakers and all that kind of thing, I would say of all the guys, Kuz is probably personally who I'm closest with.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not to say like we're all that close, but like he's probably who I'm closest with. So like I'm always Team Kuz, right? Because like I know him and that's my guy. But like, I don't know. Like, yeah, Kuz has a chip, but like some of the points Dinwiddie are making are kind of fair. Not about the like off court stuff and priorities and all that.
Yeah.
I don't care. But like, why is Washington so not so good and wanting to commit all this money to those three guys to run this back?
That's because Ted Leonsis is a terrible owner.
Fine. But that's a fair point for Dinwiddie to make, right? And Dinwiddie, for whatever the reasons are, Dinwiddie is in the playoffs this year and was last year. So,
which has a lot to do, I would say, with the 40 some odd games that
Kevin Durant
they won when KD was there. But
Kevin Durant.
So here's my if I want to give like one semi serious note here, I do think there's real value in the NBA, especially now, right, with how teams are built. With how what is expected of role players, I think there's real value in understanding who you are within the confines of the league. And I think like Kuz basically saying, I had to be really good at what I did to help the Lakers win a championship. That to me is a really mature outlook on where Kuz stands in the league, you know? Now that said, there was plenty out there of Kuz wanting to see if his game could expand, which is natural for any player who, you know, grows up in the situation that he grew up in. There wasn't any room for him to expand in the Lakers organization, especially at his position, right? At that time, AD wanted to play for.
There was until there wasn't.
Yeah, but like, you know, when he finally was traded, right? LeBron, best at the four, and AD wanted to play the four. So, and Kuz is best at the four. And so that made it kind of difficult. That's
what was asked of him, and his role kept changing, which is very hard to do as a young player to have those adjustments when you're also trying to figure out your game. And also, then Luke trying to play him at five.
But like, I think Dinwiddie on multiple occasions taking side swipes at successful role players, to me, and I don't know Dinwiddie at all, like no relationship, no conversation with him at all.
Yeah, I've never met him either.
But that to me kind of highlights why he is a very talented player, but hasn't lent himself to a ton of winning. You know, he had the one run with Dallas where they got to the Western Conference Finals. But outside of that,
a cute little thing in Brooklyn with D'Lo, the team that they blew
up—the
one that was that attracted KD and Kyrie.
I don't think they even won a series, right?
No, they were a shocking 8 seed and got the doors blown off them in the first round.
Yeah, and then you know, but I think
Milwaukee beat them like 78 games to none.
That's pretty much Dinwiddie's career, right? Like if a team overachieves and they make the playoffs, they're usually out of it. And then if he plays with Luka and that team is really well constructed around him and Jalen Brunson is on a contract that is an immense discount, then yeah, like that is a team that he can be on that goes out and gets to the Western Conference finals. But like, to me, it appears with his outlook towards role players that he doesn't quite get where he actually fits within the confines of the league.
I think that's fair. I mean, that's been a criticism of Kuz too, which is what he's picking at. But yeah. I think that's fair. Although he did say, I mean, I listened to some of the clips and he did say, like, you know, like I can be this. I think I can be the second best player on a very good team. I don't think he said championship team because he would have just been straight wrong. But I do think he did say,
like he gave himself quite a bit of credit for the Dallas thing.
And I think he did said something about being 1B maybe on.
Yeah.
I think he said I can be 1B on a very good team and number two on a championship team. Like, I don't know about that, brother, but,
No,
and he's like, look at what me and Mikal Bridges are doing. Okay, brother. All right. I mean, he is, in my opinion, where he slots in is like he's a good starter, or he's an above average, maybe good starter. And I think he can be a starter on a very good team, maybe a championship team, but he's going to have to be the fourth or fifth guy.
I think he has to be a really good bench player on a championship team.
Like, I mean, he's good enough to do that. He's definitely good enough to be the sixth man on a championship.
Yeah. Like that's his best role. It's kind of like Schroeder. And like, I don't mean that again, you're playing a pivotal role on the peak of the sport. Like that to me isn't a knock, you know, and that's kind of what I mean when I talk about like this outlook towards role players where he's taking a shot at Rick Fox, who the Lakers don't go on a three-peat without Rick Fox. Like, he was hugely important for what that team did. And kind of sort of ahead of his time when we consider, like, role players. We didn't think of 3-and-D role players much. And it turns out they're important.
I think the point that he is maybe indelicately making is there were the thoughts about Rick, because Rick was, like, into acting and all this other stuff, that he was into LA and being Hollywood and being famous and being,
which you can do if you're a part of a championship winning team
and being a beautiful light skinned man in Los Angeles. Also, like, hey, shout out Kuz. So I think the point he was trying to make is like all this stuff kind of happened like around you because you were so interested on like your fame. Your fame overstates your role because you were an LA guy and into all this kind of other stuff. Good for them.
Kuz won a championship. You earn that by being
doing a bunch of other stuff that he's interested in, and he has used his fame and his light skinnedness and his looks and all of that for whatever. And I like use everything you got. So I'm with it. I never saw, even when he was with the Lakers, I never. Like Kuz is Hollywood a little bit, I personally never saw that
it deter from like his main focus
take away from basketball. Mm-hmm. And I have seen that from guys, but I never saw that with Kuz. And Kuz was the one who was most obvious about, or most honest maybe, about being out there and doing all these other things and celebrating the fact that he's in LA and he has these opportunities and all of his other interests. So, yeah, I mean, I like, he didn't pick on LeBron, right? Like, didn't go after LeBron when there was all the thoughts like LeBron's only playing for the Lakers because he wants to make movies and, you know, have business deals, and KD only went to the Warriors because of what it could mean in Silicon Valley for investments and all that. Like, he's not picking on those guys.
Yeah.
So, well, I never saw it affect Kuz on the court.
Also, like, if I just find it weird for somebody who clearly has interests outside of basketball to knock interests outside of basketball. Like, the whole Bitcoin thing was all him, you know? Like, I if you're good and you're really good at keeping the main thing, and if the main thing continues to be good and you're productive at that, then I don't care what else you do.
I know, like, that doesn't either.
It doesn't, and so it was like weird to me that he seemingly would with guys who won championships.
But it's because it's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
That is the thing, right? Like, if you, I was talking with somebody about, not this the other day, but about a friend of mine has a 9-year-old who gets like picked on at school, and they will pick on you about something. And then, because that's like the thing that works, that's the thing that you can get picked on about. And if you change that, like, oh, look how this person dresses. Okay. You change how you dress. That's not going to change anything. They're still going to pick on you. They'll find the next thing, right? They'll pick on whatever works. And that is the obvious thing to pick on Kuz about, right? You're not going to pick on him about basketball because he's better than Dinwiddie and he won a championship, right? So it's not going to really be about basketball. It has to be the thing that, like, we think Kuz is Hollywood, and look at the pink turtleneck he wore that looked like it was made for a giraffe. And like you just find the thing, and that's the thing to pick on Kuz about.
All right, last thing on this. Do you think the Nets should be down 0-2 as their series starts because he took those two L's?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to matter because they're going to get swept anyway.
So yeah, it's not going to matter.
We need more games on NBA TV, but you want to take a couple NBA TV games away. The Pacers aren't in the playoffs now, so we need NBA TV games. The Jazz aren't in the playoffs. We need NBA TV games.
Yeah, the Nets are like the... Like, this version of the Nets is like the perfect NBA TV team. All right,
the Hawks would be if they weren't playing the Celtics.
Yeah,
because I'll get you like a Hawks Pacers NBA TV game.
That used to be the 4-5 seed in the Eastern Conference was always on NBA TV. All right, that is going to do it here for this episode. This is part one of this 2-part conversation that we're going to have. This was the basketball part of it. Now we're going to have the human part of it over on Substack. So subscribe over there. And until the next time we talk to you, which is going to be, I think, as of right now, the plan is for me and somebody, I'm not going to give away the guest, but somebody to talk essentially right after game one. So look forward to that.
There's a 98% chance that you have now given that person health problems and they're going to be unable to join you. A headache.
Nope. Something. I didn't say who it was. So we're good. Right. It's as soon as I mention somebody's name that person gets a headache. But
no. Well, I don't need this voodoo in my life, so it won't be me.
'Nervous and anxious and everything for the playoffs. It's been a while.
It has. it has.
Yeah.
By the way, for some unknown reason, Vox just sent me $116.
Contractors were under, they were under contract through last month too.
Oh, okay.
So you're welcome. Cool.